For our 11 o'clock presentation, we have Chuck Hildebrand, Little League Home Runs, and MLB History. Thank you, Chuck.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, by the way, Disco Demolition happened the day after my 18th birthday, so I was definitely part of the Disco Sucks generation. Anybody else? All right. I had a t-shirt that said Death Before Disco on it, so that's kind of where I came from on it. Okay. All right, so let's start off by just taking a quick poll here. How many of you have played Little League? Hands up. They play? Okay, lots of you. Okay, keep your hands up. How many of you hit a home run in Little League? All right, some of you have. Now, finally, how many of you hit an actual home run over outfielders' heads and got to trot around the bases? Me neither. Okay. So lots of hands came down. All right, and with good reason, because chances are, if you hit a home run while you were in Little League, it looked something like this. Yes, that was a Little League home run. But really, how can we tell it was? I mean, you can just look at it, you know, and we're savvy baseball cognoscenti. I mean, we can just tell them, yeah, sure, that's a Little League home run. We know what one looks like. But how do we actually know what a Little League home run is? There have to be some criteria that we're applying to it as we're watching it so that we know, even subconsciously, that we know that the play we just watched was indeed a Little League home run. So what I want to do here is I want to try to establish a conscious accepted definition for what a Little League home run is, or at least get the discussion going. So here's my proposed simple working definition. It's two or more errors on the play, batter scores in the play, that's it. Okay, just the two things. All right, so why this definition? There's two reasons. One, it reflects the spirit of the term. It's a bunch of kids, you know, booting the ball around and throwing the ball around while the runners and the batter, you know, come around to score. It's not necessarily shameful. It's not shameful at all to make an error. I mean, you know, major leaguers make it every day. But for a team to make two or more errors and throw the ball around, that's really comical. In the way that kids do it. I mean, they're very sweet when they do it. I'm not knocking kids, but they're very sweet when they do it. And the other reason is it's easy to query on, you know, and that's really kind of important. It makes the finding a Little League home runs in history really easy. That's Doc. How it happened for me. So to run this query that I called easy just a minute ago, we have to find the place where the data live. And that would be in the RetroSheet event files, which serves as a basis for everything from baseballreference.com to, well, RetroSheet.org. So there are several, the bad news is that there are not every game is available for us to query on. There are several missing seasons, basically almost everything before 1934, except, you know, the few available ones that are listed here. Although we do have postseason and all-star games in their event-based entirety. Now, the good news is that even with more than 50 entire seasons missing, we still have 74% of all the games that have been played since the beginning of 1876 to query on. So that gives us over 153,000 games that we can query against. And I think that's a good enough sample size. Okay. So, the earliest recorded occurrence of what we would call a Little League home run that we could query on occurred in the 1911 World Series. Jack Berry was the hitter for the hometown Philadelphia A's, and he came up against New York Giants starter Red Ames in the bottom of the fourth inning of Game 6. And the play reads as you see it here. Now, you retro sheet geeks will know instantly exactly what this means, but for those of you who don't, this is how it reads. All right, I got a better idea. How about I read the highly entertaining newspaper account instead, okay? Here's how a local paper called the New York Times described the hilarity that ensued. Then came a hysterical outburst of loose playing by the Giants, which sent the whole team high into the azure. Don't you love 1911 writing? Berry laid down a bunt with the intention of making a sacrifice hit. Ames picked up the ball near the first base line and heaved it toward Merkel. The ball bounced off a solid portion of Berry's skull and carried far into the foul territory outside of right field. Baker and Murphy started to sprint hard and Berry headed for second. Murray got the ball and made a crazy peg to Fletcher at second. The ball whizzed past Fletch without as much as a nod of recognition and rolled over to the foul line to left field. DeVore scooted after it and fell over on his ear when he attempted to pick it up. While all this upheaval was going on, Baker and Murphy had scored and Berry was galloping the path at a great rate. He didn't stop until he crossed the plate. Making the circuit of the bases on a sacrifice hit is something new in baseball. And the crowd almost died laughing at the Giants. No one out, mind you. Thomas was laughing. Thomas, the next batter, was laughing so hard that he couldn't watch the ball and struck out. So, you can see from this account that this kind of play was considered so unusual that they referred to it as something new in baseball. And that makes sense. You know, there were fewer major league games being played then. Hardly anybody in the country had ever even been to one outside of major cities. There wasn't any TV, and there was hardly any video of it, of major league games available. So it's entirely possible that no one attending that game had ever before seen what we would recognize today as a Little League home run. So obviously they didn't call it a Little League home run in 1911 because the organization itself was not founded until 1939. So I went rooting through game accounts, and here is the earliest mention of the actual term Little League home run I could find as applied to a two-error batter scoring play. It was June 2nd, 1974, by a beat writer named Jeff Prue, who worked California Angels games for the LA Times. The ball was hit by Denny Doyle of the Angels off of Joel Coleman of the Tigers. And here's a descriptor of that play. But again, the newspaper account is much more fun to read. So you can see in red, a Little League home run by Denny Doyle. Actually, it should have been Little League home run entirely in quotes, but it's Little League in quotes home run. But it wasn't a home run because actually Doyle's hit was a double, which the Tigers turned into a comedy of errors. Doyle, sliding into second, quickly got up and dashed for third when Jim Northrup's throw sailed wildly past second for an error. And when left fielder Ben Ogilvie, backing up the play behind third, made another throwing error trying to nail Doyle at third, the Angels second baseman scrambled for home and slid home safely head first. So this is the earliest mention I could find, but if you happen to find an earlier mention, please send it along and we'll, you know, we'll definitely update this.
And that's cool.
Wow! Fans didn't sound too happy to see that, did they? And Rosario looked a little worse for the experience, so he probably should hit the treadmill more. So, out of 153,000 plus games available for us to query on through the end of last season, we found, according to our simple definition, a total of 240 Little League home runs. That works out to about 1.6 per 1,000 games. So if you look at just a historical average, that would mean that in a current modern season of about 2,450 games, including postseason, that should work out to about 4 per season on average. But there's more to it than just that, and we'll see that in a little bit. There have been 235 in the regular season. There have been 4 in the postseason, including the 1911 incident, and 1 in the 1919 World Series, right? Which counterintuitively was not given up by the cheating Black Sox to satisfy the gamblers, but it was instead given up by the Reds when Ray Schott got one. And I'm sure he got a rousing welcome in the dugout when he got there. Yeah. And then there's the one All-Star Game Little League home run, which was hit in 1938, and it was called by Bob Elson, who called Cubs games on WGN, and it was broadcast that day on the Mutual Network. Pretty exciting, huh? That was the earliest broadcast of a Little League home run I could manage to locate, but if you can find an earlier one, please, send it along. Okay, let's take a look at a few stats and oddities in the history of the Little League home run. You know, broken down by season, here's how the numbers look. The most in the regular season is 8. That happened twice, in 66 and in 72. We had 7 in 78, we had 6 in 1991. And then 4, 3, 2, 1, and a bunch of seasons each. And for you hardcore stats nerds, the mode is 2, and the median is 2.5. So if that's the kind of stuff that you're looking for, there you are. And 7 seasons saw none. The last of those was in 2010. Okay, but it actually gets more interesting when you step back and you look at the forest a bit instead of fixating on a succession of trees. And if you break it down by era, you can definitely see a pattern. So here are the data broken down into 5-year periods, except for the first two because data was so spotty back then, those areas a little longer. But you see a really high incidence before 1925, the highest, which maybe that's an outlier, but there is a trend downward, because, and which you can tell because I asked Excel to add a trend line to the data, and there it is in red. And Excel's pretty good at math, so I'm gonna trust it on this one. But you can see, even though there looks like a lot of up and down between eras, the highs and the lows are both going lower over time. In the 5-year period we just ended, saw the lowest rate ever for Little League home runs. Now here's my theory, and you're probably gonna throw something at me for saying this, but quite simply, players are playing better defense today overall than they ever have in history. The fielding is simply better. And yeah, we could talk about, well, nobody today is as good as Willie Mays was. And okay, I'll give you that one. But I'm talking about overall, okay? What can't be disputed is that there are many fewer errors today than there were decades ago or a century ago. And whether it's because of better instruction in ironically Little League, or better equipment, better gloves, better fields, or official scores giving out fewer errors, whatever it is, the overall trend in baseball toward fewer errors also shows up in the incidence of lower Little League home runs over the years. I'll just break it down a little bit. Month of year shows nothing really. April looks very low. I'm not sure why. It's less than half of all the other months, and I don't think April has fewer than half the games played of other months. That might be a fluke. By inning might make more sense. You can see most of the Little League home runs between the third and the sixth innings. They have the highest numbers. Then you start to see fewer in the seventh and eighth innings. Maybe teams are playing more conservatively. They have small leads to protect. There's small deficits to overcome. Maybe there's more putting the ball in your pocket. I don't know. And then it just goes down inning by inning from there. By play type is interesting, I think. I didn't expect to see singles make up half of all Little League home runs and doubles almost a quarter. And errors is actually, less than a quarter because I thought it'd be a lot more errors, right? That would lead to Little League home runs. When I looked closer at the event codes, though, at least a third of those 122 singles are scored as infield hits. So maybe there are more infield Little League home runs than it looks like here at first glance. And in my opinion, the infield Little League home run is the purest form of the art. Now, I'm going to get this thing going here. Note that among the infielders, the pitchers kind of lead. Everybody was 16, and the third basemen are next in 11. Kind of makes some sense. But out of 153,000 plus games, only one was started by a catcher. And you would think, you know, with all the bunts or all the dribblers in front of the plate, there'd be a lot of the catcher throwing it past first base, or goes down the right field, and the right fielder picks it up and he's at the third to get the runner, and that goes into the stands and or the dugout, and he comes home. But there's only one. I don't understand it, but that's the way it is. Okay. So I'll leave this up for a few seconds so you can scan this for your own favorite team. I think the thing to note here is that obviously all the top franchises on both lists are original 16 teams. Which I've marked in blue. The top team on the top expansion teams on the hit it list are the Astros and the Mets. They're both the 1962 teams. And on the give it up list, it's the Brewers slash Pilots 1969, and you know, and again the Mets. You'll note, by the way, that Arizona has never hit one, and Tampa Bay has never given one up, and they both have two on the other side of their ledgers, and they're both 1998 teams. But because this list is so biased towards teams that are original 16 franchises, because it's a bottom line number. A better list for comparison might be one that shows incidents by 1,000 games they've played, which is what this does. So when you look at the rates by team, you start to see expansion franchises float more toward the top. You know, they're the ones in black interspersed with the blue. But I do find it interesting that even when talking about rate per 1,000 games, original 16 teams are still better represented than mere chance would dictate. Original 16 teams make up about half the franchises, 53% actually. But five of the top seven that you see here in blue, which is 71%, are original 16s, and nine of the 11, or 82%, who gave it up are also original 16s. This, I believe it's directly related to the era thing that I posted earlier, since original 16 teams were around in those earlier eras when rates were much higher. By the way, the Red Sox you see here, historically notorious for being slow-footed plotters, they're near the bottom in hitting them. And the Yankees, who are the putative greatest franchise in history, they're near the bottom and giving them up. However, you know, so are the Orioles. They spent half their history as the hapless Browns, so maybe it doesn't mean anything. Probably doesn't. Okay, here's a neat little oddity I came across. I can't explain this. National League teams have hit far more and have given up even more far more, if that's a thing, than American League teams. They've given up 33% more Little League home runs than American League teams, and they've given up 43% more. It's really odd, isn't it? I mean, I wouldn't have expected that. But this is even better. When you break it down by era, you see that in every single era, I've marked it in blue, except for two, which are the 1980s eras, oddly enough, the National League gave up more, and sometimes a lot more, than the American League, right up to the last two periods combined, in which the NL teams gave up 15, and the AL teams gave up just 6. So if you initially thought that the DH was responsible for this difference here, you're probably wrong. There might be some other non-performance reason why this should be. Maybe there's harsher official scorers in the National League, bigger ballparks and square footage. I don't know. Maybe one league is just plays better baseball than the other. I don't know. I don't want to isolate 50% of the people here, but it's clear that this is a persistent thing. I don't know why, but there it is. Okay. So, the career record for most Little League home runs by a player is, how many do you think it is? Shout it out. How many?
Two.
Got three. Okay, now, how many think it's two? How many thinks it's three? How many thinks it's four or more? The answer is two. So you conservative people are right on this one. And these are the 14 players with two. You'll notice some base stealers here. All of them have at least 65 career steals except one, and I'll give a nickel to the first person after the show that comes up and tells me which one it is. But you know, that kind of suggests that you've got to have kind of a long career to get two. Although, again, let's get this up here. Well, I guess not. Well, Tony Fernandez, he's in the middle on the left side. His two came on back-to-back days against the Tigers in 1978. So maybe you don't have to have a long career. Jim Gilliam's came 10 years apart. So, and tied for second with one is 212 other guys. So. Okay, here's the last piece of trivia, as if this entire thing weren't trivial enough already. Okay, out of 240 Little League home runs in queryable history, only six of them came on three errors. The rest of them came on two. And here are the six that came on three. And I've marked the errors in red. And so how do you make three errors on a play? Well, you know, Wally Moon, let's take the first one. Wally Moon in 1954, there was a runner on third. Wally hits a grounder to second, who comes home to the plate to get the runner on third. Throws it wild past home, first error. Moon is chugging around the second. Catcher thinks he's going to get him, throws the second, throws him in the center field. That's two. The Moon is like huffing and puffing past third, and he's like chugging toward home. Center fielder heaves a pass, the catcher at the plate. Moon scores. That's three. So that's how you can make three errors in a play for Little League home run. But my favorite one is the one at the bottom here. The most recent one was Jeff Leonard's in 1988, because all three of those errors came from one guy. That's two. That's two right there. Look at three cutoff. Okay, now the video cuts it off early because they don't show Jeff Leonard scoring, but Tommy John obviously heaved it into the stands or the dugout or something, and you can tell because, you know, nobody was rushing after the ball to make a play, so he obviously came home. So that's my fun little presentation about something no Sabre member has ever seriously considered in the history of Sabre looking into, okay? Now, there are actually next steps to this, okay? I'd like to make this available, or as it says here, available on on the Sabre website in the committee research section. And I know it's the web, and there's only just so much room on the web, so I don't know if they can find room for me. We'd like to expand the database once a year as Retro Sheet is updated after the season to include the season just ended. And then we would expand the database as additional seasons come online, which actually just happened on Wednesday, too late for me to update this presentation. So, lastly, I'd just like to thank a couple of guys who actually did the actual queries, so I could have the luxury of looking through the data and just putting the thing together. Mike M.A. Ran some data for me, and then Dan Hirsch stepped in to pinch it at the end there. So, thanks much, guys, and thank you. Oh, come on, you don't really have questions, do you? This is stupid!
What a great paper, but I can tell you something. There is a recording that you ought to hear. In 1962, Danny Kaye did the Dodger song, and it describes a Little League home run at the end of the song. It's about all of the 62 Giants are making errors.
Oh my God, that's great. That would be great. Now, did they actually call it that?
They don't call it that.
So 1974 is still the earliest.
Well, they don't call it, but what I'm saying is it is a Little League home run.
Oh, great.
It's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Probably everybody's heard it, but I great paper.
Thank you so much.
Comment and a suggestion for the research. There's definitely a product effect with the Red Sox. Fenway is so small that it's hard to, if you make a bad throw, it bumps it off the wall and comes back to where the field is.
Right, but they do play half their games in big parks.
Yeah.
All right.
But the other thing is, what I wanted to hear was the infamy list. I want to know the fielders who were red errors.
Good one. Good one. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we should look for that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fantastic presentation.
Thank you.
Well,
2 points. Yes, you are criticizing me for my lack of rigor, and two, no. Yeah, so I did notice, and I didn't pick them out. I did, as I was kind of combing through the individual plays, I did notice here and there that were some outs. I didn't count how many there were. I would think there's probably less than 10%, or less than 5% of them, probably.
Well, it might just be the ones that started with field choice,
for example. Right, yeah.
Chuck, I know it doesn't fit your definition, but I think we saw Jose Altuve get a Little League home run.
I think we both did, yes.
And perhaps we can look for more one pitch, and then before the next pitch, the runner scores.
Right, right, yeah. So what Jose Altuve did at the Sabre-Astros game last year is he made it to first base, and on before the first pitch of the next batter, there was a pickoff throw to first. It got by him, ran up the field, and he went all the way to home. But those are two separate plays, so that's why that doesn't count. I know you were pitching me on this yesterday, but I don't think I'm going to cave on that one. Thank you. I bet there were. Oh my goodness! Wow, that would be good. Well, yeah. Wow, geez, I'd have to look into that. I mean, that actually, I could probably just query that against the Excel sheet that I have on this computer right here. So I might be able to tell you today. Whoa, that's a possibility. Yeah, it's very controversial. Thank you.
Please describe your best play voice, your Little League
home. Oh my goodness. Hildebrand dribbles in front of the plate. He's running to first. The catcher hits him in the back of the head. It bounces off his head. It doesn't go quite out of bounds. He's running to second. First baseman picks it up and heaves it in the center field. Hildebrand mistakenly runs after the ball, but then he comes over to third. He runs over to third. He's coming to third. The center fielder is picking it up. He throws it at Hildebrand. It lodges in the back of his uniform. That's another error, and Hildebrand trots home with a ball in his back. Thank you very much. Oh, God. Way to put me on the spot there. Thank you so much.